I'm Crystal.
Hi, and I'm Joseph. So good to be with you tonight. I'd like to start with a short little story. I'm a Catholic missionary, so I often hear people's life stories. I'm going to tell you about a guy that I met a couple of years ago, and he told me his whole life story. It was incredible. And this guy was brilliant and broken at one point in his life. All throughout his 20s, he had a live-in girlfriend. They had a kid together. He had started getting interested in Christianity. He had heard people talk about it. And he was very confused because there were a lot of different ideas about what Jesus actually taught. And then he heard one guy talking about Christianity really, really clearly. And he's like, this guy, he knows what he's talking about. He's preaching truth. This is the real thing. But this friend of mine didn't do anything about it. He's like, but I am too sinful. I am too lust-filled. I am too interested in alcohol and the things of the world. This is not for me. And he was hanging out with his friends, and he heard a little kid say, take and read. And so he went back into his house, and he picked up the closest book at hand, which happened to be a Bible. And he opened up to Romans. You would have thought that I would have bookmarked it, but I didn't. And it was Romans 13 was the first thing that he signed. It said, let us conduct ourselves becomingly as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. And at that moment, his heart was pierced, and he's like, that's it. I can't trust myself. I can't do it, but Jesus can. The words of the scripture that he read that day opened his heart. He had an encounter with our Lord that transformed everything. And this friend of mine who told me his story told a bunch of people his story because he wrote it down about 1,600 years ago. This was St. Augustine, and he became a priest and then a bishop, and he taught the faith so well that people still read his works and people are still transformed, and his story is still changing people's hearts. But it started with an encounter with our Lord through the power of God's word in scripture. Young St. Augustine.
So thinking about St. Augustine's story and realizing that, you know, we all have parts of the world within us, no matter where we are in our journey, no matter where we are in our walk with the Lord, we know that there are these parts in us that we still need to overcome to grow closer to the Lord. I don't know if this is going to help me right now or not. We'll try. Thanks. So when, if you knew you had a heart problem, if you knew, you know, my heart's working well enough, I'm doing okay, but I've got some heart problems, and you go to the cardiac surgeon, and the cardiac surgeon says, actually, I need to do surgery. If you really want to lengthen your life, I'm going to have to do surgery. Now, the surgeon isn't going to, like, knock you out and do surgery without your permission, right? Like, you got to sign a bunch of waivers, you got to make sure you don't have problems with the anesthesia, all this stuff is going on before the surgeon operates on your heart. And our Lord is a heart surgeon, right? Our Lord is the divine physician, and he works on so much more than just our hearts. But he doesn't go there without our permission. And so divine intimacy, when we're really growing in intimacy with the Lord, what we're doing is we're saying, Lord, I'm going to let you do surgery on me. I'm going to let you find the broken places in my life, and I'm going to let you heal them. And don't we know, you know, when we have these moments of vulnerability, when we have these moments of intimacy with somebody, that's when we really feel known. When we think that somebody doesn't know who we really are, then we don't feel intimacy. We don't have that authentic relationship. We feel, well, if they knew who I really was, they probably wouldn't like me as much as they think they do. And yet, the Lord knows all of these things, and he waits patiently and gently for us to open our hearts to him so that he can do that transforming work. And this is where the story of St. Augustine is so powerful, because we can see the Lord waited. St. Augustine knew. He knew the truth. And in that moment where he finally let the word, the living word of God from the scriptures, sink into his heart, it started to change his heart. But it does mean we have to change. And that's really hard. However, the living word of God helps to give us the impetus to do that, and is a way that we can invite the Lord. So I think Joseph is going to talk, just practically speaking, how do I do this without just wanting to pass out at the thought of it all?
So I've been reflecting on this a little bit. I've taught people about prayer for the past, over a decade, which is a decent chunk of time. It's not very long, I admit. But sometimes I teach it and it's a little too abstract. And prayer it's not abstract. It's a conversation with God. And I think one of the reasons why we struggle with it, and one reason why I struggle with it, is that I'm used to superficial conversation where I'm not really listening. Don't tell my wife, that happens sometimes. And the other person doesn't seem like they're really listening either. And it's superficial. We don't even talk about anything meaningful most of the time. And superficial conversation doesn't change me, and it doesn't change the other person. And there's no intimacy there. And that's what we're used to. So when I say prayer is conversation, we're like, well, but conversation is usually not that great. So what is good communication? What is a good conversation? Jesus is actually the best conversationalist you'll ever find, especially if you read through the Gospel of John. Gosh, the conversations that he has in the Gospel of John are just incredible. He gets to the heart of the issue like that. People, they trust him, they learn from him, they're confused by him, he pierces through their confusion. He is the best conversationalist ever. And the whole idea of prayer is that the same thing that Jesus did with Nicodemus, the same thing that he did with the man who'd been blind from birth, the same thing that he did with his disciples and with the woman at the well, he wants to do with us. He wants to have conversations with us that change our lives. So what does that look like? Okay. Sometimes it takes me a really long time to get to the practical part. I apologize. So Lectio Divina, how many of you have heard about Lectio Divina before, been taught? Like, so this is actually pretty incredible for a group of people to know what Lectio Divina is. So I'll just go through it. Sometimes it's helpful to approach it slightly differently. I was always taught a couple of different things. I was taught the Latin words, lectio, meditatio, oratio, contemplatio, actio, right? Are you guys familiar with those?
Sure.
Yeah, and they're not incredibly helpful either. They're fun to say, but they're not, it's not like I ever go and contemplatio anything else, so. But to think about it, like what would happen in an ideal conversation where somebody who actually has something important to say to me has sat down to say that thing to me. And that's what happens when I sit down in front of Scripture, right? God has something important he wants to tell me, and I need to sit down, and the first thing I need to do is to listen closely, to read a passage and just listen. What is he saying to me? And I'll know it because it's the thing that sticks, the thing that stings, the thing that sticks out, right? So I need to listen closely. And this is the same thing that has to happen when I'm talking to my wife, right? When she speaks to me, I better be listening closely, because I have no idea what's actually the important thing unless I listen closely. Because sometimes it doesn't sound very important. Is she still behind me?
Okay. And just in case you didn't capture this, the listen closely would be to just choose a passage of Scripture.
And read it.
And listen
to what it's saying. So to pick up, they've got the pocket gospels to start with Matthew, and just maybe don't start with the beginning of chapter one. I think they covered that at the assembly, is that it begins with the genealogy, unless you really like looking up what the Hebrew meaning of all those names are and be like, oh, wow, what am I dragging? Yeah. I'm dragging. That was me dragging. I'm sorry. We're moving on. The next step is to think about what that person has said. Like, if Crystal has something to tell me, my first response should not be to immediately react. It should actually be to think about what she's saying. If she had something important to tell me, I shouldn't just shoot from the hip and come out guns a-blazing and usually defensive. Who knows, though? I should think about what she's saying, why she's saying it, what the context is. I should be thinking about why it seems to be sticking out, why it seems important to me, what's bothering me about it, what's providing joy to me about it. Because I treasure conversations with people that I love. And so I should treasure the words that they say to me. And if the word of God is the most precious word, I should think about what's going on in me in response to this. And only after thinking deeply should I respond. So they say something, and then I should say something back. And this is like the prayer part. And this is the part where sometimes I mess up in praying because I think a lot and then I don't say anything to God. I'm like, no, God, I'm going to keep on thinking about what you said to me. I don't want to talk to you about it yet. It's like after I leave a movie, I don't want to talk to anybody about it for like half an hour because I'm still processing. My wife still doesn't quite get that. She wants to talk during the movie. But to take that time to process, but then to actually have that conversation and to actually say, this is what happened when you said this. This is how I feel about it. This is what I'd like. This is what I need. And actually respond to what was presented to us. And then, after we've responded, to let them respond again. You know, conversation is back and forth and back and forth. The whole idea of prayer is that God continuously wants to pour out his love on us. And so we respond, and then he wants to respond back. And ultimately, it should be to the point, like with some married couples, where they can just sit and look at each other and they don't have to say anything. And this is one of the goals of prayer, is to be held in the gaze of our Lord and to hold him in our gaze and to just receive fully whatever it is that he wants to give us. And then we should act differently, right? Like if Crystal tells me about something going on in my life or going on in her life or going on in the kid's life, I shouldn't say, well, it's going to be business as usual after this conversation. No, it should be, no. Like, if this is what's actually important to me and to the family, I should be willing to change something, whether it be something different about bedtime with the kids or something different about how we're processing mail or, I don't know, where we keep our keys at night. I should act differently. I should seek what is the most loving thing that I should do now based on what she has said. Like what is going to be different in my life because this person who loves me has said this to me. And this is what Lectio Divina is. It's a conversation with God that changes my life. And if that's not why I'm sitting down with Scripture, then it's like when I sit down with my wife and nod along and say, yep, mm-hmm, honey, yep, absolutely, and then nothing changes. I stay stuck in a rut. God does not want us to be in a rut. He wants us to grow, and he wants us to be the most loving people we can possibly be. And he wants to give us everything we need for that to be possible.
So just a quick anecdote to hopefully drive this home. You know, I think that we all have this head knowledge, probably most people in this room have this head knowledge that this is real and that this is really possible and that Jesus rose from the dead and that he's really willing to meet us in conversation and respond if we'll just stop and listen for long enough. But oftentimes we think, okay, but practically speaking, what does this look like? What does this feel like? And so just to share a story, and really to especially drive home the importance of the daily commitment to at least trying to spend, I mean, I like to say pray 20 minutes a day, it'll change your life, trying for 20 minutes a day to have that time to have a conversation with the Lord. So Joseph had the opportunity to go to Ireland for Holy Week on a mission trip, which was this great opportunity, super exciting, you should go, it's going to be awesome. And he signed up, and then Gisella was born. And I don't know if many of you have met Gisella. She's our daughter. She's amazing. She also has a lot of special needs. And so here he is leaving for this trip to Ireland. And about 5 days before he left, Gisella got an NG tube. She was failure to thrive. She was starving. She got this NG tube placed so we could give her the calories she needed. So this was exciting. This happens. This is a good step. Joseph leaves for Ireland for 10 days. And he emails me from time to time. I got one phone call. He also wrote me these really beautiful letters that I still have that I got to read. But we were not in daily conversation. There's this new big thing going on in my life, and we just weren't able to talk about it. And when he got home, I was a hot mess.
And I was so confused because I had written a letter every night to her, every night. But I was in Ireland, and I thought, well, I shouldn't mail them because I'll be home before they get there. So it's like, I've already processed through everything that happened this week, and I effectively told you everything. Why are we not in sync right now?
We were so out of sync, and it affected everything. It affected how we related to our kids. It affected how we related to other people. I was angry that he was there, but I was angry that he had been gone, and it was just not okay. So compare that to this past summer, Joseph was gone for 10 days again, but he was in Florida for new staff training, helping to train up the hundreds of new missionaries that we're now training up every year, which is incredible. But we got to talk every day. We got to talk on the phone, sometimes a couple times a day. We get to send text messages.
We
FaceTimed. He knew how I was doing. I knew how he was doing. I knew what was going on, you know, whether it was a good day or a bad day. We had a pulse on each other. And so when he came back, we were able to get back into the groove again, and we weren't missing a step. And Gisella is doing so much better, and it was so much happier, so that was exciting too. And she's just cute, so you're welcome. But it was amazing to me the difference that it made with my spouse when we were apart, to have that daily conversation, to have that daily touch point. And I know that's so much more true in my time with the Lord. Even if it's only 5 or 10 minutes because of whatever happened and it cut down on my time, that when I really am faithful to that time to converse with the Lord, everything is so much better. And when it gets pushed aside, and it does, I mean, there are seasons of life where it's just not happening, but everything is messier and everything is less fun and I'm messier. And so it just reminds me always when things start to get messy to be like, oh, am I talking to the Lord? No, I'm not. Okay, we got to get back on that train. We got to make a daily commitment to that again. And that intimacy changes me and also helps me be a missionary disciple.
So, sort of to wrap up our segment, divine intimacy is having a relationship with God where we're actually letting Him in to what's going on in our hearts and letting Him actually move, act, love us. And this is how we grow in any relationship. If we are vulnerable with people, we can grow in a relationship with them. If we're closed off or we don't communicate with them, we can't grow in intimacy with them. Lectio Divina, the whole reason they came up with the model of Lectio Divina is that monks for a time immemorial would read scripture and talk to Jesus about it. And one monk was like, well, this is just what a conversation is. I'll just write it down. And it's just what a conversation with God looks like. It just so happens that it's just like any other conversation that we have where we're actually trying to be intimate with the other person. And so intimacy with God also means that we'll be more free to be intimate with the people that we love most in our lives. And that's really all we have to say about that.
All right.